Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry program on this Super Tuesday 2.0. This is Dan Crawford with my amazing partner and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom to all of you as well. And now, today's primary is just between Biden the gaffer and Sanders the socialist.
Well, you know, Biden is expected to win the nomination.
And I heard, should he beat Trump, will bring back some of the deep state that worked under the Obama-Biden administration.
That would be awful.
Uh-huh. And it is also Purim today, and that will be our study tonight since this miracle is recorded in our scriptures in the book of Esther, who was Jewish, and she was a maiden of high excellence. But first, let's praise the Lord.
Okay, Abba, Father. We do praise you with much gratitude, especially for your glorious Son, the Word, that spiritually provides protection from our evil enemy while increasing our discernment so much needed in these chaotic days. We pray for our recent prayer request for healings and salvations and wisdom concerning finances. We also ask you to consider the petitions of those that are listening right now. Perhaps even under quarantine due to the coronavirus. May it dissipate quickly as we cling to your promise to carry us through all our afflictions. Bless the teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we look at Purim, what's the latest on Israel's elections?
You mean, was Bibi able to form a government?
Yeah, I know he was getting close.
Well, although he came closer than the last two previous elections last year, he still needs three seats to achieve a majority, and most say it's just not likely to happen. So we're just going to have to wait and see. But the coronavirus is right now taking center stage in most countries, including Israel, too, who has said all people entering Israel will have to be quarantined for 14 days.
Wow, so the tourism has just been halted.
Yes, and the airlines, hotel, and bus tours are taking a real hit.
So, corona just keeps spreading.
It does. Italy has essentially shut down, with 60 million in quarantine, and Iran is also being hit very hard, and some of its key leaders have died.
Interesting, this is hitting Iran hard. Once called Persia, and during Purim.
It is. And we'll be talking about that. But there are still few deaths in the United States and none in our Ohio, except now we do have three adults in Cuyahoga County that have tested positive after returning from, returning from a cruise in Egypt and the other returning from D.C. But many experts are still saying it's no worse than the flu, which still kills more every year. However, those who are older with underlying conditions are more susceptible. And we should also be concerned, though, about the economic fallout. Just look at the stock market, which I believe recovered a little today.
Yeah, good time to buy.
True. I'll bet George Soros is.
And fill your cars up with cheap gas.
Yes, oil prices are way down, but again, don't panic while at the same time take common sense precautions of proper sanitation and keep a little extra food and water on hand, as you always should anyway, just in case, you know, any unexpected occurrence.
Yeah, but you know, most important, keep your immune system in stellar condition.
For sure. That really should be a priority.
Good health matters.
And keep in mind, there are very evil globalists in this world who hate Trump. And many feel that this virus was purposely allowed to escape from Wuhan, China's lab. After all, we know it was being altered anyway to act as a bioweapon.
Yeah, and that's a fact.
Mm-hmm. They should know that unleashing such a serious virus would cause panic and fear, thereby hurting Trump's economy and possibly even losing the election, or worse yet, trying to infect him.
Remember, Biden and China are secret friends and have made some very lucrative deals when he was VP.
Yes, that's very, very true. And regardless of what China says, they really do hate Trump over the sanctions and the tariffs. I do think President Trump is handling this coronavirus very well. For I'm sure he must have his suspicions, but he does keep insisting that this too will pass. However, this chaos is a globalist dream to push forward their New World Order agenda.
And bring in a cashless society.
Right. After all, they'll say, money carries germs. And one more thing about this, as we reported a few weeks ago, globalist Bill Gates, along with the Perbright Institute, owns the coronavirus patent. And they did that since 2018. And then just a few months prior to this outbreak, Bill Gates also sponsored an in-depth study of a hypothetical coronavirus outbreak.
Yeah, and then Gates predicted 65 million people would die from an outbreak.
He sure did. Check it out on LinkedIn.com.
Okay, moving on to Turkey and Syria.
Okay, President Putin and Erdogan of Turkey, they did meet last week and came to a ceasefire agreement for now over the Syrian region called Idlib. But now Turkey is dealing with the many Syrian refugees who refuse to take them in. Therefore, they're going to try to get into Greece, who won't take them either. So these refugees are just having to wait on other parts of Europe to make some kind of a decision. And by the way, today we saw approximately 4,000 soldiers return from Afghanistan, still leaving 8,600. And as we said last week, we doubt it will get much lower due to the poppy fields and the CIA's connection.
And the latest on Trump's peace deal of the century?
Oh, yeah. Well, Jared Kushner told senators in a closed-door briefing last week that the United States is pressing ahead with the peace plan regardless of the Palestinians boycotting the process. Kushner said the mapping and demarcation process is underway in areas in the West Bank and that the Palestinians could improve the proposal for themselves by negotiating. But since they are not, the United States will otherwise move ahead without their input. Now, the White House feels that because Prime Minister Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, his primary rival, both support Trump's plan, it can move ahead regardless of the election outcome.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message, 2-440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are still very much needed and are greatly appreciated, and automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, ShofarMinistries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Also, mark your calendars. I will be teaching and answering your end-time questions on Friday, May 1st at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio.
You know, tonight we want to recognize Purim, since it is today.
Yes, and some even celebrate it for 2 days as well. And there's many festivities going on all week in Israel. Well, usually, I guess not so much this year, because the outdoor festivities have been curtailed due to the virus. But celebrations do continue in homes. And we're just going to give you an overview tonight, but a more detailed written teaching is up on our webpage along with March's newsletter.
The name Purim means lots.
Yes, it's kind of like a dice in which the Persian Wiccan Haman used to decide what date all the Jewish people of the entire empire, we now call Iran, were marked to be annihilated, some by hanging and then the rest later by the Persian military.
You talk about a panic.
Well, not if you trust in the Lord, for he does clean Haman's clock. Anyhow, this wicked and jealous Haman throws the dice called lots, or Purim, and it came up the 12th month, which is Adar 14, which on our Gregorian calendar is today. So tonight we'll be looking more at the typology of the characters in the book of Esther, known as the Megillah, which is read in its entirety during this feast, and I guess rightfully so.
Well, you know, now Purim is not one of the seven major feasts of Leviticus 23.
No, along with Hanukkah, it's referred to as a lesser feast, but nonetheless play both an important part in our eschatological teachings of Scripture. Now, we talk about this great miracle every year. So those of you who have been regular listeners to this program, well, you should have no problem recalling Purim's miraculous story to your family and friends, and we pray you do.
Yeah, along with their escape from Egypt.
Oh, yeah, right. Another miracle to share, especially since Passover is next month. Remember, God does chastise, but still as a whole takes care of his people. Isaac's seed will never be eliminated.
Well, he did make a promise to Abraham.
Okay. So Queen Vashti was called to appear before her husband, the king, but she chose disobedience, thereby losing her place as queen. So the king opened it up for others who would choose and desire to be the new queen. So, after 2 years...
That's like a picture.
Right. Kind of like, after 2,000 years, we will meet our king. Anyhow, the beautiful and submissive Esther, a secret Jew, was chosen. By the way, since we have been adopted into the olive tree...
Romans 11.
We are like a secret spiritual Jew as well.
But unknown to most.
Right. Even the church, by and large, because they don't know their Hebraic roots. So as the story progresses, Haman, who had been promoted to chief prince, thereby demanded the people bow down and pay homage to him. And he became a treacherous enemy of the chief servant in the palace named Mordecai.
Mordecai was also Esther's older cousin.
Yes, who actually raised Esther after her parents died. But this Jewish Mordecai, well, he refused to bow down to Prince Haman. So Haman plots to exterminate him and all the Jewish race.
Something Satan's been trying to do since God's promise in the Garden of Eden.
But will never succeed.
Amen.
Now let's recall a little backstory about Haman's ancestor named Agag.
A huge enemy of Israel's first king.
Yes, King Saul. And this is amazing in that Mordecai is King Saul's descendant.
So if Saul hadn't disobeyed by not eliminating the Agagites, Haman would not have been born.
That's right. The Agagites were defiled with the bad seed from the giants. Shows why it is important to obey God or reap the consequences later, as we see in this story. Therefore, Haman and Mordecai are caught reenacting a scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier.
Well, like given another chance.
Which is another proof that history, just using different players, often repeats itself. So, Haman is second in command next to the king in his kingdom. But as long as Mordecai lives, he cannot have any peace. So out of bitter jealousy, Haman succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king and proceeds to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and some other local Jews.
And then, later, the remaining Jews by its Persian army.
Yes. So, Haman cast lots in the first month of the biblical calendar, Nisan, on the 13th, to decide when this would all happen.
The lots fell 11 months later on the 13th day of Adar.
Yes, which this year started last night at sundown. But the month of Nisan, when Haman actually cast the lots, is a very important month too, as we shall see. So now when Mordecai realizes Haman's evil plan. He beseeches Queen Esther.
You know, still the king does not know that she's Jewish.
Right, but he asks her to intercede with the king on behalf of her people. She tells Mordecai to fast for the next 3 days of the current month of Nisan, at which time Esther requests admittance into the king's presence.
And, you know, that was taking a big risk.
Yeah, it was, for no one could enter the king's presence under penalty of death unless he was called, he or she was called first, even his wife.
Well, you know, however, women do have a way.
Well, he had a great love for her, so the king agrees and promises her anything. Her request is for the king and Haman to come to a banquet that she will prepare for them the following day.
Still again, the king asks her what she desires.
This time her request is for the king and Haman to come to yet another banquet the next day. So it is now sundown, the 17th of Nisan, and Esther, during the course of this banquet, reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to first hang Mordecai and then kill all the Jews by the Persian army on Adar 14.
Esther 9:19.
Mm-hmm. Esther also told the truth about herself being Jewish. So lo and behold, the king orders Haman and his 10 sons to be hanged on the very gallows Haman had made for the chief servant Mordecai and his loyal staff.
On the 17th of Nisan.
Exactly. And besides the Jewish people all being spared, a future descendant named King Cyrus,
possibly Esther's grandson,
would have naturally loved the Jewish people too, of course. But years later, he encouraged the Jews to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the Holy Temple, as was previously prophesied in Isaiah 45, even using his name Cyrus, which of course paved the way for its reconstruction of the temple and their aliyah back to Israel. You know, it's amazing that almost every time I read this story, more pictures pop out at me. So please read it again and try to find your own.
Yeah, the obvious ones are the dates.
That's right. Adar 14, because the Jews still had to fight the Persian army due to an irreversible edict of the king. But God won it for them. And even more so, look at the 17th of Nisan, which, when you do the math, we see in Scripture, that was the day Haman was destroyed.
So why is that date important?
Well, because so many other events happened on this date, as in, later on, Jesus would rise from the dead, giving new life to all who believe, destroying their enemies' hold over them, another nail in Satan's coffin, to be, as we know, eventually permanently realized, as often prophesied, as in Revelation 19. But also when Esther had the banquet on Nisan 14, well, that's the date of the Last Supper, many years later, before Jesus' death.
Also, in Egypt, the Jews had their Passover meal on the 14th, just before they left.
That's right. And on the 17th of Nisan, the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, giving them new life from bondage, while defeating Pharaoh, a type of Haman, and his army, also a picture of defeating Satan and his demons from trying to kill all the Jews, which, as we said, well, he'll never be able to do, even though he keeps trying.
Well, you know, examples, Hitler.
Yeah, that was recent. And understanding God's two calendars, also on Nisan 17, on God's civil calendar, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, Genesis 8:4. And, of course, that represented new life to the human race. Also, if Haman is a type of the Antichrist who rules over 10 nations, and we know that by the 10 horns, could that perhaps be why he had 10 sons? And did you know that each of their names listed in Esther 9 represents a different prideful sin? It's really amazing. Anyway, the Festival of Purim, also means lots, is a time of celebration and fun, game playing, dressing in costumes, and joyful remembrance. During the reading of Esther, Mordecai and Esther are cheered. But when Haman's name is read, they boo. A three-cornered cookie filled with fruit is eaten to commemorate Haman's Persian three-cornered hat. So anyhow, be sure to read the book of Esther again and have a little Purim celebration, especially with your children or your grandchildren. It's a great learning experience in God's Word. That's how children really remember, you know, by doing and even dressing up in Persian-type clothing. It's a lot of fun, and it kind of is like a Jewish Halloween, only this one is biblical. But in summary, let me say, as true believers, we know that all biblical accounts are true and is often backed up with much historical as well as continual archaeological proof. The story of Queen Esther, like so many others in Scripture, is a type of the end times. I think the king is a picture of God who married his people, the Israelites, but they strayed and had to divorce them for not following him alone, Jeremiah 3:8. So Vashti, who refused the king's request to act like his queen, represents the Israelites, who also refused to obey the king to be totally loyal. God, through Mordecai, a type of Jesus, finds him a new bride named Esther, or in Hebrew, Hadassah, which means myrtle, a symbol of everlasting life and a pleasant fragrance, which represents the bride of Christ grafted into the Jewish root. Isn't it interesting that we see Esther is presented to the king on a new moon? I think Jesus will present us to King Yahweh on a new moon as well. Check out Daniel 7:13. And finally, still another picture is in chapter 2, Haggai, who represents the Holy Spirit, who prepares and beautifies Esther for the king and also advises her for her queenship. So again, look for the typology and you'll probably see even more pictures, or you might even see things a little differently than someone else. That's okay. There's really no wrong conclusions, because the main thing is you are looking and studying His Word. And that, my friends, mightily pleases your King. So I hope that you will again take the time, read this wonderful book. It's got so many other details in it that I just don't have time to go through. But the important thing is, make it a substitute for Halloween. Let the kids dress up in Persian clothing and celebrate along with the family. And make sure that you tell others. Let them know what's going on and the many miracles that God has performed. The Bible is just a miraculous book. It's Jesus. He is the Word. If you want more Jesus, you got to put in His Word. He is the author. And you know what? Like all good authors, He's going to come to town one day. And don't you want to say, hey, I read your book. You might even get an autograph. All kidding aside, though, we're getting close to the end. With all the chaos that's going on, oh my goodness, I know He's coming soon. So stay alert, but most important, tell others about Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. If you're listening to this program and you haven't invited Jesus into your heart, what are you waiting for? Do you personally know Him? Well, if you are, then you need to tell others. That's what our calling is, to be evangelists, every single person. So, again, if you don't know Him, repent now, invite Him into your heart, and I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'ulu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all ways possible. Tune in next week. We're going to go over the rapture scriptures again. We haven't done that in a while. And there's a bunch of them, a lot that nobody even knows. God bless. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.